Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine Questions as of September 5th. I'm recording early in Europe on September 9th. And again, thank you for your questions. Just to let you know, hold that date. We'll be sending something out. So October 20th, we hope to have a Soleri meetup in Knoxville. I'll be there for the Western Price Conference. So I'm looking forward to seeing lots of allies and friends at Western Price. CHD is going to co-locate a conference right after that, so I'll be in Knoxville on the 20th through the 24th and back in Tennessee. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, let's dive in. Cash and precious metals. I'm trying to figure out if my new bank is providing my banking transaction info to Mr. Global. So the answer is yes. All data in the banks all go into what I call the data beast. So anything going through any bank, no matter how great your bank, is going in. The other thing is most banks are loading software. Even my bank is loading software, which breaks down all of your purchases in a way that they can then be used for a social credit system. Corey Lynn wrote a great article about it that we published a link to, sort of about the software works. One of the things you want to know from your bank, do they keep the data on their server or does it go into the to the vendor server? Because even though I would say the data beast has all your data, the question is who else has your data? So the fewer people who have it, the better. But just know, if you're in any financial institution in the United States, you're in the system. I would make it very clear to them that you don't like your data being organized and reported to help a social credit system. I found that when I initiated an ACH connection, that my bank's internet banking service is Fidelity National Information Service. What you'll find both on ACH or some of the other transfer systems, particularly small banks going through correspondent, you're always going into a much larger financial institution. It's the nature of how the system works. And remember, all transfers, all wire transfers are batched and go through the New York Fed, is my understanding. So I'm telling you, all the data goes into the data beast. And it's one of the reasons I love cash. That said, I would much prefer to use banks than use the online payment systems. So we're dealing with incremental benefit here. But I would strongly recommend you read Corey's article. I signed up immediately to John's Substack. Sadly, bailout is nowhere to be found. So this is somebody who's looking for a video that John did during the financial crisis. And I checked with John and he has taken it offline. He said someday he'll bring it back, but it's offline. Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for the Soleri report. Question number one, we're on equity overview. I know you don't provide financial advice, so my question is, how do you suggest I find a good financial advisor? I've been seeing someone with a large, well-known firm and watching my retirement money dwindle in bonds and other investments. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Part of the reason your portfolio is going down is because securities, whether bonds or stocks, they go up and down. So just because I know we all want a stairway to heaven, which means everything goes up 2 or 3% every month forever. But that's not how the world works. So I don't know that your firm is not doing a good job just because things are going down right now. So, stocks are going, my portfolio is going down and silver is going down and I just keep buying more because things go down. I appreciate things could get a lot worse and I'm pretty lucky because all my equity position is hedged and it's hedged because I expect things to go down. What you can do, it's good to have someone who really understands the environment. And I think you'll get a lot more confidence if you have someone like that, instead of just touting the official narrative. So I would, FINRA, and you can access it through the SEC website, have the ADV brochures and other filings of all financial planners and investment advisors. And then your state has people who are registered. So I would look up the registration points for these folks and look for who's around. That's one way. The other is to talk to people who also understand the environment and ask who they're comfortable with and who they're using. I think if you look at their ADV brochures or their other materials and then look at their websites, you ought to be able to cull it down to a group of people, and but you're going to have to interview. Now, I know people who've done this kind of search, and generally it takes a lot of time, but they find somebody that's quite good. So it's a matter of calling it down to somebody that's near you, that you can talk to, that you're comfortable with, and has a good record. You can always ask people about their record. Although if it's a financial planner, there's no way you can get a quantitative record the way you can with an asset manager. We've also used a couple of financial planners on the Solari report on the equity overview. You can go back through the equity overview and listen to some of them and see if you're comfortable. There are people who have been longtime subscribers of the Solari report, and they clearly understand the environment. But they're out there, and you just need to, you need to find them, because by and large, they don't make a lot of noise for obvious reasons about what they're up to. The other thing is, when you, as you network with people who do understand the environment, again, ask them who they're using. Question: I live in California, like many others, I'm ready to flee. I own my own home in the capital and wonder if it would be wise to rent it or better to take the money and run. If I owned real estate in California, I'd take it out. I don't trust the jurisdiction. I don't trust the technocracy coming through green and climate change as to how it will impact real estate. There are people out trying to acquire that real estate in ways that are not lawful. And if it were me, I'd get it out and run. Now, do I expect real estate to go up in value? Yes, all other things being equal. But if you're not an insider, I'm not sure how you're going to protect it. Feedback. I want to insert something that is an aggregation of many different questions or comments we've gotten over the last couple of weeks, and it's a comment on disinformation versus actionable intelligence. My goal with this, among other things, is to get feedback from our subscribers about how I can do a better job of protecting you against disinformation. I was talking with the team about this, and we went back and we looked at a lot of the sort of big disinformation ops that we've tried to communicate make no sense. And what we realized is the Solari team has an incredible track record at warning you against disinformation. And yet, if you look at our record, I feel that if we could have done a better job of persuading people to not waste time on these different things, we could have saved the subscribers, our subscribers and audience, a lot more time. So the question is, how do we communicate our opinion on disinformation, which is effective in a way that protects your time and protects you from using for your day-to-day risk management or investment strategy, whether of your time and money, protects you from just either people who don't know what's really going on or fraudsters or professional disinformation. So I'm really struggling with how do I communicate in a way that really protects your time. So I want to walk through some of the history. The first one we would constantly have to battle with was collapse or collapse of the dollar. So in the early 2000s, the chorus rang, "Oh, the economy, the global economy is going to collapse. We're going to have the, There were various forms of collapse, the Y2K collapse, other collapses. And what we kept saying is, no, there's a difference between portions of the economy being systematically harvested and collapsed. That's not a collapse, that's an engineered takedown. And there's a difference between a collapse and a takedown. Part of this rolled into the collapse of the dollar and the slow burn. And what we said is, no, the economy is going to slow burn, and because the portions of the economy are being systematically collapsed. Well, this has gone on for years and it continues. I'm still dealing with people on the collapse scenario. And this fear of collapse and not understanding the takedown phenomena and the engineering of collapse. I mean, that's taken on the Solari part thousands of hours, and yet we still have people, showing up and saying, "Oh, the global economy is going to collapse." Of course, we're going to have a collapse this year. No, we're going to have, I'm in Europe, we've increased the energy price 200%. We're going to slaughter all sorts of businesses and real estate. and people are going to pick them up cheap. There's a difference between a collapse and an engineered event. Anyway, so clearly the slow burn, I announced in 2017 that the slow burn was accelerating and we're going to have to start imploding institutions, which is what is happening. Okay, a big one was the Dinar scam. For many years, I fought with clients and subscribers not to spend time or money in the Dinar scam. My ultimate frustration hit a huge point when I realized, I sat down and got a person who would come occasionally to me for a consultation, that over the prior 7 years, she had averaged expending 1,000 hours a year on her Dinar scam. And every time I spoke with her, she would tell me that they were about to just realize their incredible gains. And this went on for years. And I said, you know, if you had just worked in a diner for 10 hours, $10 an hour for that 7,000 hours, you would have 70,000 pre-tax to show for it. Instead, you could have spent 7,000 hours helping your kids with their grandchildren. Think about how more advanced and intelligent your grandchildren would be if you had invested 1,000 hours a year for 7 years in their education. You're losing your life. You know, you're not just losing your money, you're losing your life. Another one is numismatics. Numismatics are a form of precious metals that are priced way above spot price. You're not paying for melt value. You're paying for the fact that various people are trying to persuade you that they can't be seized in the worst case. So numismatics have spent a lot of time, and generally we've been able to protect people. At the same time, you're constantly trying, you know, new dealers are showing up which are hawking numismatics and relieving people of their savings. It's frightening. The Chinese yuan is going to become the reserve currency tomorrow. That's another version of the dollar's collapsing. And that goes in and out. And it was combined in 2014 with the Asian elders. The Asian elders are a group of people who control vast amounts of riches and are going to show up and recapitalize and save the Western world. There was a big war in 2014. I had in the summer of 2014, I sat at the Gambles home in California while they told me the dollar was going to collapse and the Asian elders were going to recapitalize the Western system. And I said, not only is that not true, but if you look at the dollar, it's about to rise dramatically between now and the end of the year. And if anybody follows your advice, they're going to get slaughtered financially because you're promoting the reverse of what is right now starting to happen. So stock market up, dollar up, and precious metals are going to be flat to down. And if you're going to come out with this, and they said, yes, we're going to come out with this in a very strong way. And I said, well, then I'm going to come out against you in a very strong way because I'm not going to let you hurt my subscribers financially. So, you know, there was a big break when I broke away from sort of the Thrive team and said, you've been had. You've been had. And this is all disinformation, and somebody's, and part of this was they really thought they were gonna, I think the Dinar scheme or some kind of scam like that was probably in there. At the same time, literally the same week or two, I went on to Greg Hunter and had a just screaming match with Greg Hunter, who said, every person who's come on the show says the dollar is about to collapse, and you can't possibly be right. I said, Greg, the dollar's going up, it's going up strongly. You know, the stock market's going up strongly. That's where this is going. And he just said, you have to be wrong. And I said, I'll bet you a dollar. And literally at the end of the year, we had a huge move up in the dollar. Of course, stock market was very strong. And I made Greg Hunter pay me a dollar. And he was grumpy about it. I said, no, you got to mail me a dollar bill. I'm going to frame it. And it's framed in my office in Tennessee. But that was a huge war. And it was literally a time when I broke completely away from the financial alternative media because they were just all vested in collapse. They were all vested in the dollar losing the reserve currency status, and they just couldn't see what was going on. And the disinformation was massive because if you can't harvest people by pulling them into your system, you send them to an alternative system that harvests them in different ways. That's what it is. And I really don't care. Someone once said, one of my favorite quotes is, war is not about who's right, war is about who's left. my interest is not where I want things to go, or I said my goal relates to where I want things to go, but I have to be cognizant of where they are in fact going, whether I like it or not. It was one of the reasons I really bonded very closely to Joseph Farrell, because he was very helpful in helping me with no more allies in the alternative financial media. He was very helpful in mapping out what was happening in the economy really, really. And there was a great line where we were doing a workshop together, and he turned to somebody who was promoting the Asian elders and the Chinese yuan is about to become the reserve currency. This is 2014. And he said, "The Chinese have one aircraft carrier. They just finished making it. They don't even know how to sail it. Are you out of your mind?" It's pretty funny. Another one was the Blue Chicken Op after the very successful Secret Space Program conferences. A group showed up through Gaia TV marketing all sorts of Secret Space Program. It was a huge disinformation effort. It was almost as big as the current one, Operation Smother is what I call it. And we just finally called it the Blue Chicken Op. And it was amazing how many people in the audience left the legitimate researchers in general, just went off and poured incredible amount of time and energy into the Blue Chicken Op. And it was funny because the group that did it made a documentary sort of towards the end when it was running out of steam. And I was down with a subscriber in Texas, and we decided to watch it. And she turned to me after it was over and she said, "You know, it was like just watching all your stuff. They're just trying to package you in like an Oreo cookie to make themselves look legitimate." It was really sad. Great amount of information wasted. Leo Wanta is another one. Whenever the missing money story starts to get real traction, they pull Leo Wanta out of the closet, who claims to have all the money sitting in his trust funds, and he is holding out against the bad guys, and at some point he's going to turn the key and all the money will be used for good. Believe it or not, that's related to, and this happens many times, it's happened to me for decades. Somebody shows up, they're associated with the top guys, they have trillions of dollars, they're ready to do good on the planet, and they just want me to give them a whole schedule of how to roll out this money and how to save the world. And if I'll just do, you know, a few hours of work, like 1,000 hours of work to help them, they'll turn on the spigot and I'll have hundreds of billions of dollars to allocate and manage. You know, you can't believe anybody. So I used to tell them, "Well, my retainer is, you know, this amount of money. So you have to pay $5,000 up front for 6 months for the retainer." And they'd say, "Oh, well, you don't understand. We're dealing with billions. We don't pay retainers. That's stupid little chicken feed." And I say, "Well, I'm a chicken feed kind of girl. So you got to pay the chicken feed." And sure enough, you know, they won't put down $10. The whole part of the trick is to get you to work for free. And it's amazing. You'll see all sorts of researchers spend hundreds of hours giving them free material, free ideas, doing all the work for them. And then, of course, they disappear and there's no money. And, you know, I've seen a lot of good people get their networks convincing that they're going to invest vast amounts of money in them when all the payday comes in. And of course, it never does. Then, of course, there's QAnon, which I said at the beginning of the Trump administration was hope porn. And sure enough, it's hope porn. But it's very effective at getting people to sit on the couch and not take the time to learn how the money works in their jurisdictions and what they can do about it and to organize to do about it. You know, you just sit on the couch and the white hats are going to come and show up and fix everything. Then there's the quantum financial system. I had a very talented, capable researcher, or this guy who had military and intelligence experience, he should know better, show up and try and persuade me that the quantum financial system was real and it was being run and controlled again. This is another version by this wonderful woman who was just taking care of all of us and was going to lead us into the promised land. And I said, "Okay, well, here are the basic documents that any due diligence will do. Get me those documents and I'll go through them and I'll report." Sure enough, we don't give out documents. So if you look at the most basic documents that under financial or SEC law that anybody's supposed to give to an investor There's lots of laws and standards about what you're supposed to get. Nothing. So I'm supposed to, like believe in this on a hope, a whim, and a dream. No due diligence, no document. I just tell them, look, grow up. Crypto. You've probably heard me talk a lot about crypto, and I did a 3-hour interview with Mercola and a Bitcoin supporter, and I've basically said everything there is to say on crypto. I did a great discussion in 2017 with Harry Blaser about Bitcoin as well. So between the Mercola interview and the Bitcoin interview with Harry Blaser, I think it's on the homepage, but it could be in the library. There's nothing more I can say about crypto, but we have watched crypto be prototyped to help them. To help the leadership, Mr. Global, figure out how to bring in CBDC. The value of any crypto depends, and I hate to agree with Warren Buffett, but he's dead right. The value of crypto depends on the next guy coming in. So in that sense, it's a Ponzi scheme, but all fiat currency is, in a sense, a Ponzi scheme. But there are some fiat currencies that have sovereign taxing power and military behind them, and others that don't. But crypto is clearly being pumped and dumped for a variety of reasons. And so it's a speculation. And if you're going to get involved in a speculation, and if you want to help Mr. Global prototype digital currencies, then you just got to be careful and understand you're in the Wild West, you're in a speculation, and you're going to get pumped and dumped. And whatever you do, you better make sure you have your records and your archive and protect yourself from sort of losing everything in the Wild West or not having your documents and getting rolled by a tax authority. Anyway, I've said all these things before, but it's remarkable if you look at the chart we put into the first quarter wrap up this year of Bitcoin and crypto being pumped just as the vaccines are rolling out. It was a brilliant vaccine marketing plan, just like SPACs were part of a vaccine marketing plan. I got to give my old partners credit. They're really good. They know what they're doing. And if you want to sideline half the alpha males into a vision of massive crypto profits before you dump them and have the IRS go after them, they did a brilliant job. What can I say? So just understand when if you're going to dive into the crypto waters, you've got to understand you're in a very dangerous space and you have to navigate it. Now, I've seen very smart, intelligent, hardworking people navigate it in a very clever way and make a lot of money, because they know what they're doing and they know how dangerous the waters are that they're playing in. And so, if you've done that, good for you. I'm not going to do that because I'm trying to take things the other way. So, I'd rather use that money to invest in people. And I don't want to help Mr. Global prototype. I was brought up, basically, I was trained by some of the top guys in the financial system at the time. And they had a rule. They never financed their enemy, ever. Not ever. Even if they could make, if they could make it a multiple of 10 times financing their enemy, they wouldn't do it. They understood it was war. Okay, I mentioned the White Hats in connection with QAnon, but the White Hats thing has been going on for a long time, and it's all part of getting us to sit on the couch because the White Hats are going to fix everything. Trump is still the president, is part of that one. It's interesting on QAnon, after they got the January 6th domestic terrorist thing going, somebody jumped on my Wikipedia page and said I was a big QAnon follower. After 4 years of being absolutely attacked and slaughtered because I kept saying QAnon was hope porn and it was BS. And remember, on these things, QAnon used to roll out some interesting nuggets. So off and on, I would go see what nuggets they were rolling out. And that's part of giving credibility to disinformation. You want to throw in a couple of good nuggets. And so there's always something to be learned by seeing if you can call out the nuggets. It just takes a lot of time. And what I've learned is, looking for nuggets with most disinformation ultimately just wastes your time. Okay, so the new one is mass formation psychosis, which is a combination of a mass formation theory come up by a guy from Belgium named Matthias Desmet, and then psychosis tacked on or hypnosis tacked on by Dr. Robert Malone. And I describe this as being something promoted by, if you look at the people who are using their materials in a variety of ways, I call it Operation Smother. Anyway, so this is one of the things that's going on in Operation Smother. If you dig deeper and look at what's going on in the world of psychology at a much more serious level, you have a real effort to weaponize mental health in a way that will protect the people who are implementing genocide, number one, but after you do that, then anybody who's tried to disagree with the official narrative, like me, can then be declared to be mentally imbalanced. Anyway, mass formation is a kind of popularized popular science BS, especially when you add psychosis to it. If you look at morphogenic fields or what's happening with entrainment technology, there are great theories to explain what's going on here. Farrell did a great book on mind control. We've done a lot. If you go to the commentary, put in mind control in the search bar, and you'll get a list of links, including at the bottom, two interviews or lectures at the War College and to the military by Giordano and Morgan on military-grade neurological weaponry. So to me, mass formation psychosis is a cover story for, among other things, the military-grade neurological weaponry. Anyway, so it's a whole bunch of hooey, and normally I would just let it slide by. The problem is that if you look deeply at what is being done by more serious people, this is sort of the popular notion, but what's being done by more serious people is to really weaponize mental health in a way that is unbelievably dangerous. And among other things, in the United States, it's going to be used to try and strip people of their guns and their rights under the Second Amendment. Do not fall for it. Just do not fall for it. And again, the dangerous aspect of this is the what's going on in behavioral modification, including by one of the committees at WHO or Rockefeller Foundation has a new project it's funding, or a project it's funding called the Mercury Project. So these are the more serious things, and this is the popular notion that covers for it. Do not fall for it. Okay, so those are a series of different disinformations, and when I look back at sort of our performance at Solarium, my performance, I'm looking back and saying, you know, I would describe my opinion on these different items, but it didn't translate into saving people's time fast enough. And I think the question is, how can I help you not waste any time on this kind of stuff? Now, the first thing is, you can't just say, oh, well, Catherine will know, because in these instances, I was right, but no one is always right. I can't always be right. And I'm not a great believer in prophecy. So, you know, there's just no way that we can say, okay, well, Catherine's an expert and we can depend on her. That's how we got into half the messes we're in, depending on experts. So I will always try and do my best to give you my best opinion on anything, but we can't assume I'm always going to be right. So we need a strategy that depends on something better than one or a few experts. Let me just describe. I wrote down a couple of thoughts about what our strategy should be, and I'll just call it's part of war strategy. First of all, vet people before you invest time. If somebody rang the doorbell and said, I want to come into your bedroom and look at your safe, you wouldn't just let them in. So when people are offering you what's supposed to be intelligence or actionable intelligence, and they're a complete stranger or they're on the internet, just don't invest time until they're vetted. You know, for God's sakes, get vetted sources. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, only incorporate proven sources into your risk management. So you do risk management, you do planning, you invest your time and resources. Only use information from proven sources to integrate into risk management. You should be using actionable intelligence from vetted, reliable sources for managing your time and resources. Entertainment's fine. If you want to watch, you know, anything from James Bond movies to, you know, crazy stuff on the internet that says the blue chicken op is happening, that's entertainment. And if you find that pleasurable, it's fine. Use it for your pleasure. Don't use it for your risk management. The official narrative or BS is for cocktail parties. For risk management, you want to use hard, actionable intelligence. We have to learn not to mix them up. We can't use the official narrative or entertaining blue chicken ops for real risk management. All online information. I don't care if it's the Salieri Report, I don't care if it's the Wall Street Journal, all of it comes with entrainment and subliminal programming because that can be overlaid. It doesn't have to be put in by the content provider, which means collect information, but when you're going to make decisions, look, take out a piece of paper and a pencil and do the math. Go hug a tree, get away from digital technology and get yourself grounded. Have a good night's sleep before you make decisions and verify, verify, verify. I often get asked for detailed descriptions of why something is disinformation, and what I find is unpacking disinformation is usually a complete waste of time. Not to mention that if you say you think somebody's disinformation, then the next thing you know, you're wasting time on a public debate. And it's intentional. They're trying to, I call it flypapering someone. They're trying to get sticky with flypaper, and the next thing you have to spend, the next 2 weeks getting the flypaper off of you. Disinformation is part of a control grid, and the control grid is the largest industry on the planet, herding you in a direction Mr. Global wants you to go. They spend trillions of dollars on the control grid. It's surveillance, it's mind control, it's engineering financial carrots and sticks, it's covert operations. I'm telling you, it's the biggest industry on the planet. It's huge. So you need to understand you're navigating a control grid, and we spend a lot of time on the Salieri Report trying to explain to you that there is a control grid and it's managing you one person at a time, because with the AI and software and all the surveillance, they can do it. And so building a great barometer of understanding the control grid and how you want to navigate it, there's no better investment of your time than getting that, because until you get that, you can't build and manage a great map. And that's what you need to navigate. I mean, just like if you were to drive from Philadelphia to California, you need a good map. And life is like a long journey. You need a good map, but you need a way to constantly update and refresh that map and not get tricked. And when I tell you, they are spending hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars a year, trying to trick you. And so we're up against a machine. You cannot understand disinformation without understanding mind control technology. And I'm going to say it again, military grade neurological weapons. They are at work, they're highly effective, and they create the capacity for you and every other human being and me to resonate with material that we would never even consider, let alone take seriously under normal circumstances. So you have to understand that mind control technology is very subtle, it's totally invisible. It can get highly intelligent, well-educated, capable people to believe in utter and complete BS. And I've had it trick me. So everybody can be tricked. And the reason we want to be part of a network dedicated to living a free and inspired life is we need each other to share intelligence and skills. And that is the best way of working through what is really going on. So we need constantly to build networks of people who can share intelligence and skills. If you look at some of the discussions that are going on at subscriber input or at the commentaries, the comment section and commentaries, there's great discussion and great intelligence coming in. I would never have been able to navigate the pandemic without the incredible intelligence coming in through the networks at Salieri, the networks at Doctors for COVID Ethics, the networks at Children's Health Defense. A lot of that intelligence I didn't always agree with, but it was rich, it was robust. It was coming from people who had incredible amounts of expertise and knowledge that there's no way I'm ever going to have it. I mean, some of the doctors at Doctors for COVID Ethics are absolutely brilliant, and they can see disinformation at lightning speeds in science and medicine that I could never see. Anyway, so no one is as smart as all of us. That was our theme on money and markets this week, and it's because it's very, very important that we have these rich networks. And one of the reasons I'm so dedicated to keeping, serious disinformation like mass formation psychosis out of our networks is you can't build that speed and trust without a certain level of quality. And if you're constantly dragging the salt water taffy in and pouring it into the engine, then you bog down and you stop providing the speed of actionable intelligence that we need to keep navigating. So those are some thoughts on disinformation versus actionable intelligence. And I really want you to come to a place where you get good at doing this. There's a wonderful quote from Walt Whitman in Leaves of Grass that I just want to read, because this is what a lot of times I'll quote this to remind us all of how to approach this. He says, "Stop this day and night with me, and you shall possess the origin of all poems. You shall possess the good of the earth and sun. There are millions of suns left. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, or look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters in books. You shall not look through my eyes either, nor take things from me. You shall listen to all sides and filter them from yourself." Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. Okay, next question. "Dear Catherine, few separate topics here. It's been building up for a while. Would prefer it not glossed over, so feel free to split however you feel appropriate in the interest of your team's time or across more than 1 week." Okay, you had a question on treasury yields, and it sounds like you're getting a lot of different things mixed up and you don't have a good framework. So let me give you a framework. There are two issues in terms of the pricing or value of a bond. One is interest rates, or I should say three. One is interest rates, one is terms and conditions, and the third is credit standing. So let's say the credit standing of the bond issuer is very high, which is you can 100% depend on them to pay it back because they have the financial wherewithal to do so, and they have highly responsible governance and management. So let's say the credit is what would be called AAA at the rating agency. So we have a great credit. Then we come down to terms and conditions, the biggest one of which is how much do they pay, how often do they pay, and when does the bond mature? When is the money going to come back? They call that maturity. So then the other question is, what are interest rates? So let's say I issue a bond when interest rates for that maturity, let's say it's a 20-year maturity, let's say interest rates at that time are 3% when I issue the bond, and then interest rates go up to 4%, the only way that a new investor can get 4% from the bond is if they buy the bond at a discount. So if the bond was issued at 1,000, so maybe the price goes down to 950, so it can start to relate the yield to maturity, is what it's called, to the actual market interest rate. So as interest rates go up and down, the prices of bond go up and down. When interest rates go up, the prices go down. It's inversion. And when interest rates go down, the price often usually goes up. Now, if you want to understand this, I would go to any place you could buy used books. And the Wall Street Journal has a lot of old sort of books, or you can get the dummies books, or just for free, go to Investopedia. It's all of this is explained at Investopedia. And what I would do is I would spend a lot of time at Investopedia and not worry about what's going on in the current market. I'd get a basic framework on how do bonds work, how do stocks work, and what are the factors that make bonds and stocks go up and down. And you can find everything on Investopedia. And first you need to make it simple. Then you can bring in all these other questions that make it more complicated. But I would just go to Investopedia and, you know, what are bonds, what are stocks, and take a look at the market. You know, if there's $200 trillion outstanding of bonds in the world, you know, how much of them are sovereign bonds, which are issued by government, how much of them corporate bonds, other kinds of bonds like mortgage-backed securities. Just get a 411 map on what's going on. And between Investopedia and Wikipedia, that's one area where those tools really, really work. So that's what I would do. Hero of the week, you had a suggestion for Margaret Court. This is really interesting. I haven't thought of Margaret Court for years. I certainly, from what I remember of her, I loved her much more than Serena Williams, that's for sure. But I will take a look and consider her. So I thank you for the suggestion. You've been collecting news from Australia. This is just invaluable. This is a perfect example of no one is as smart as All of us. If you look at all the construction companies and home building companies that are going out of business and getting run over in Australia, this is truly scary because there is an unbelievable amount of talent and great people in these companies. And it's just really frightening. And that's what happens when you go through a bust cycle. So I really appreciate those links. And, I knew it was bad, but by diving into the links, you really see a lot more. And you see sort of what the increase in inflation is doing to people. So then you had a section of links on environment, food crisis, biowarfare. Again, looking at Australia, foot and mouth disease outbreak in Indonesia. So I think there's a lot of low-grade biological warfare happening. Part of the prejudices that was used against me in Washington, and I tell the story in Deep State Tactics, it was pretty funny because it was inconceivable to me that I, Catherine Austin Fitz, would be having to deal with low-grade biological warfare in the middle of Washington, D.C., but there it was. The world had changed. Some unbelievable Farmageddon and CBDC links. Somebody just sent me a video, and we put it up on Tube, so I'll be talking about it next week, of Suncor suggesting to their customers that they chip themselves in their hand. I thought, oh my God, if an Australian financial institution is doing this already, we're in real trouble. Some other good links on pushback. These are great. I really appreciate your sending them. Everybody should take a look. It's amazing how much you can learn about what's going on in the world in Australia because the sort of the Anglo-American Alliance technocracy, they're in the lead of implementing it in a way that is frighteningly ugly because Australia always was the lucky country. But this is why you can't let them take away the guns. Can you explain a little more in detail about how you can use the common law and get your money back and the credit card? So I can't. I can tell you what I did. And I can tell you why I did it. I also, I litigated with the Department of Justice for many, many years, and they were using common law right of offsets. So I learned about how they were applying it to Hamilton Securities in a government contracting situation. And then I used it back on the when I clawed the money back from a New York Federal Reserve Bank. I owed them $14,000, and I took the position that $14,000 per person at the time was missing from the US government, so they owed me $14,000. I asserted a common law right of offset, and I never heard another word from them. But I put the links in the show notes to sort of what I've written about this. If you go to, you want to go to ourmoney.salieri.com taxation, and it's in the taxation wrap-up that I describe doing this. So I would definitely read the taxation. But it depends on every situation is unique. So it depends on what institution you want to assert a common law right of offset and what your attorney recommends. So this is something we're going to have to invent together. I can tell you what I did, and or if I tried to do this again, I could sit down and figure it out. But again, you have to be very specific under the law to the particular situation and institution that you're doing this with. But there's no doubt, I think there's something to be invented here and can be done. Hi, Catherine. I'm very grateful for your perspectives, wisdom, and humor. But while listening to your interviews, I'm often frustrated by the poor sound quality of your microphone. This is surprising. We spend a lot of time and effort on the mics. We've been having one problem with earbuds scratching, which we just tried a new solution, and the results were mixed. Anyway, so you'd be amazed how much we spend on good mics. Part of it is when I travel. I don't travel with a full setup, so we're trying a new setup. Anyway, we keep trying new things, including non-glare glasses. If I told you how much I just spent on non-glare glasses, you'd probably faint. Anyway, but I appreciate the feedback and keep it coming because it inspires the audio video team to new heights of experimentation. Hello, my community is in far West Texas, about 60 miles from the Mexican border. We are partially a ranching community, but there's some farmers, some chicken raisers, and other skills and products. There is a small group of us who are exploring setting up a formal BARDA community. We're wondering if you all have white papers or guidance. I would check out a couple sources. One is I just do a general search for books on BARDA, so I haven't done a recent search. You're reminding me it would be a good idea to do it. I would check out Tom Greco and his writing and website. If I would trust anybody to tell me who is the best sources right now on BARDA, it would be Tom Greco. I should probably get him back on the Sillery Report. And then I would also look at IRTA, which is the International, I forget what IRTA stands, it's IRTA, but it's the International BARDA Association. They regularly have conferences and have lots of information on BARDA. And so I would check out Greco, I would check out a general search for books on BARDA, and I would check out IRTA and see what you can find. My impression is there's an absolute explosion of both local currencies and BARDA. This is going to be very timely, but what you want to do is not get too far ahead of yourself in terms of concept, but find little ways, I think very little, of being very practical. What are the things that you really want to circulate and can share? And another one is I would definitely set up some kind of time backing function. Anyway, check out those sources and let me know what you find that's really good. Then somebody sent a great message on how much energy cost spam uses. And I love this in the sense, I don't know if the information is accurate, but what I will tell you is the digital control grid and digital concentration camps are enormously energy wasteful. So if we really wanted to save energy and lower energy use, we would stop, you know, we'd smother Silicon Valley and stop with the surveillance and control grid. I keep coming back. Tyranny is so expensive. Tyranny is so expensive. It's unbelievable. Okay, question. Wonderful question from a carpenter in Canada. Very talented person. A wonderful subscriber. Very much appreciated. And also a songwriter. So he posted some of his songs, which are very prescient. Very, very prescient. Anyway, the question is, should you build more of a business? And the answer is, the most important thing here is to enjoy your life. And if building an overhead is going to take you away from the things you love and drain your energy, I wouldn't do it. If you can, and sort of the key to building a business is to get a good bookkeeper who can help you with administration and to get a good deputy who can help you with project management. So if you start out with the right kinds of infrastructure and you can build a good bookkeeper / admin person and a good project manager deputy without, you know, doing it in the outsource function the way you're doing it now. But if you get them on board and build something that then you can pivot off of them, then it may be worth taking on some overhead. But I think you're right to be careful. And the important thing of growing is doing it the right way. So I would start, put in place a way to track the mathematics excellently, and then put into place another project manager who's excellent at project management and scheduling. You don't have to get buried by that or any hiccups. Make sure the hiccup is, one, you got a great way to track everything mathematically, and then you've got a deputy who can protect you from the hiccups. But I would think if you can do that, it's probably worth taking the first step of putting those two people in place, continue to pivot with outsourcing, and then if you want to insource more, you can once you have those pivots in place. Just make sure you have a good CPA too. Hi, Catherine. I feel as I'm drinking from a fire hose, reading articles and watching videos from the Sillery site. Just remember, it's a buffet. You don't have to eat everything at the buffet. The buffet will be there tomorrow. You don't have to eat everything tonight. I do not have a financial or banking background, and I'm watching the current show with Pete Kennedy, You Are Stronger Than You Think. In this video, you mentioned the Bank of North Dakota. You want to learn more? Just go to the Bank of North Dakota website. Or I always go to Wikipedia and look at Bank of North Dakota first. So I would go to Wikipedia. I don't know if Investopedia has a Bank of North Dakota site. Ellen Brown has written a lot about banks. She and I disagree about whether or not government should create local banks. I'm violently opposed. I think state banks should be, and government banks should be wholesale, not retail. But she may have some stuff on her website about the Bank of North Dakota and why it's so invaluable to have a bank like that. Anyway, so I check out Ellen Brown, and but just get the 411 on the Bank of North Dakota website and any description of them in Wikipedia. Also, I note there's a bank called Walden Mutual Bank out of New Hampshire, which apparently was granted a mutual charter as of May this year. It looks as if its goal is to offer bank accounts while lending to local sustainable agriculture projects. And website is here. Well, thank you for letting me know about that. I appreciate that. Then somebody sent in, we're now on to sending links about different technologies to shut off your energy when the peak is high. The head of the EU just came out and announced they're planning on doing that and use the expression flatten the curve. We'll talk about it, money and markets. Somebody had a comment on eliminating businesses first through lockdowns and now through artificial energy costs combined with declining supplies. Two advantages, first transfer of wealth. Yeah. They're gonna, by pulling everybody's energy, I can't tell you how much they can pick up in the way of assets. But more importantly, the elimination of culture. Many of the old mom and pop stores, businesses getting forced out of business. They are the living remnant of local culture. When they are replaced by global corporations, the culture is lost. Marx's dream. Yes, that is true. They are very important. Since I'm a Christian, I don't believe the culture can be destroyed just by that. I think the war is on. And again, I think the, Mr. Globalin is going to lose, but is it going to take 3 years or 3,000? I can't tell you. I heard a commentary which stated that the money we've been sending to the Ukraine to buy weapons, economically speaking, would have taken every single person in America out of poverty, would have given them food stamps for food and water, and would have purchased a small home for each person that is homeless. So yes, we could have actually eliminated poverty totally in the US. But instead of doing that, we sent double the money that is necessary to stop poverty over to the Ukraine to fight a war that nobody wants to be involved in. I do not know if the figures are correct, but I think the basic idea is, of course, the basic, there's no reason for poverty on this planet. I mean, we spend $2 trillion a year overtly on military planet-wide. I mean, come on. We spend $1 trillion a year in military and intelligence, but cocaine can fly back and forth across the border without being hindered, right? It's all controlled by black teenagers in poor neighborhoods, right? Anyway, so yeah, no, I agree with your fundamental premise. And whatever we're doing in the Ukraine, basically we're slicing up the Ukraine, and there's a group of people who have a new vision for the great new kingdom in 2030 of what the Ukraine is. Minus the part of the Ukraine they sliced off and give to the Russians in exchange for playing this game. Dear Catherine, very thankful to have discovered your site 2 years ago. For me, you offer an intelligent perspective not found anywhere else. I have particularly enjoyed John Titus's work on the Federal Reserve. Make sure to check out his new video. You can't believe it. A group of Fed economists came out and said, yes, we do inject money directly into the economy, by the way. So we talked a lot about that on Money and Markets. I found you because of an overwhelming sense that something was very wrong with the narratives presented and the clearly observable facts and data available for anyone who would simply examine facts with an objective mind. Here's my question. To what do you attribute the awakening? Whether you frame it as friction, pushback, or re-examination of countless inconsistencies previously dismissed as conspiracy theory, it is clear that more and more people aren't buying the company line. My hope and prayer is that it continues. 3 years ago, nobody would have believed our government would willingly lie to us about much of anything. One pandemic later, and suddenly many narratives that we have been fed for years seem suspect. I wonder why we didn't see it before. Why now? Food and energy prices. The thing that is delivering the message is, yes, there's the message is being delivered by the pandemic because people realize the one, the problem didn't, was nowhere near as dangerous as the solution, and the solution is killing and disabling a lot of people. So there were plenty of lies, and the harm that's rolling out from the pandemic is people rightly feel that they're being killed because they are. I mean, it's pretty clear that whatever's going on includes genocide and depopulation. So the pandemic is part of it, but the big part of it is food and energy, because the trade between the establishment in the Western world always was, you play along with the official narrative and we'll subsidize your life. We'll give you cheap energy and we'll give you cheap food. And if you look at what was delivered in terms of cheap energy and food, it was quite remarkable. But it depended on being able to swap fiat currency for commodities around the world, and that game is coming to an end. So I think the thing that's driving the distrust is the increased food and energy prices. And that's what traditionally, historically, translates into civil unrest, and I think is going to translate not only into more civil unrest, but more crime. And so, unfortunately, your biggest danger is likely not to come from Mr. Global. It's likely to come from neighbors and people engaged in just taking what they need. So I would be careful where you see your risks on the rollout of the pushback. Dear Ms. Fitz, this email will either strike you as unhinged or intriguing. As an annual subscriber, I've availed myself of the extensive resources you have generously provided. Our likely dystopian future is depressing. Rather than lying down and taking it, I instead hit my knees and pray to God for inspiration. And then you've come up with, you're working with a group of IT whistleblowers who they refer to their leader as Gideon. And you want to know if I will talk to them. I'm happy to take a look at any information. I've seen some stuff on the internet about a group of IT people led by a guy named Gideon that basically looked like more disinformation to me. So I don't know whether this is it or not. But I'm happy to receive, first of all, written information. I'm not inclined to get on internet media and talk with people just because of the entrainment problem. So I'm happy to look at written information. I'm not happy to receive information that requires breaking the law or involves me in anything that's breaking the law. So I'm under, you know, I'm clearly, I have to be clearly perfect about being in compliance. So if you want to share information with me, which is illegal to share, I don't want to receive illegal information. But with that caveat, I'd be happy if you want to send me something. So I'd be happy to take a look. And you say the group of whistleblowers is intermediated by an insider calling himself Gideon. I don't generally believe if everything's intermediated by one magical person, I'm generally pretty skeptical of that. Hi, Catherine. This is not necessarily a question for Ask Catherine. I recently moved from San Francisco, which is a designated smart city. I was looking for some information related to San Francisco and smart cities when I happened upon this article about Amsterdam. I thought I would pass it on. I appreciate that. It's terrible to see what's happening to Amsterdam. I also am thinking that the farmer's problem may not be solely due to Mr. Global wanting control of our food systems, but it may also help people herd people back into the cities. Absolutely. Yeah, if you read our megacities wrap-up, we talk about the herding people back into the cities a lot. Have you seen this footage of Bourla on mRNA? Yeah, so the head of Pfizer's rolling back. He's saying, oh, we thought mRNA technology would work, but it didn't. So, oops, you just can't make that up. And there's no way he's saying that unless he has been told to say that. So you wonder what's going on. Somebody's looking for purchasing Mitometer in Australia. Normally, you just use your credit card and they convert. I'm not sure what the problem is, unless they don't take credit cards. I don't know. If you could let me know why credit cards don't work, because credit cards automatically hand the currency to, conversion. My window cleaner told me his apple tree did not produce one apple this year, and it's happening to the people down the street. This is very disturbing. I would love to know any reports you have on orchards and orchard production this year would be appreciated. Local gatherings. Yes, we are going to do an event, a meetup for subscribers in Knoxville on October 20th in the afternoon. Hold that date. Then recommended links, one from John Looney on the rise in all-cause mortality. So a clip from Dr. McCullough, which is complete BS. Peter Bregan loves Dr. McCullough, but I had a run-in with him early on in at Doctors for COVID Ethics, and guy just keeps not making sense to me. So anyway, the link is in the notes if you want to take a look. It's just total BS. Just as Catherine was mentioning on CHD that she didn't know who Jessica Rose is, this popped in from Toby Rogers. So Jessica Rose just has a new TV show on CHD, and Polly's very excited about her. A link pointing out that the Russian Lukoil chief dies in fall from hospital window. Yep, just like the CFO of Bed and Bath died from, and they're saying it's a suicide. I don't believe it. The head of Argentina targeted in apparent assassination attempt. Digital money, electric cars, no privacy, and hardly traveling possibilities unless you're privileged. So what then? If your kids are promoting VR for leisure, I'd think twice. Luckily, humanity has no has one thing going for them, especially in Europe, no energy. So the whole digital concentration camp depends on massive amounts of energy. So let's hope you're right, because if you look at what they're trying to say about, let's get rid of fossil fuel, it means no energy, because, 80 to 90% of the fossil fuel or of the energy in the world is provided by fossil fuel. It's unbelievable. And so we're going to cancel fossil fuel, but we're going to dramatically increase energy needs with electric cars and digital money. Just can't make this up. There's definitely multiple personality disorder. So I agree with you. No energy is hopeful for humanity. There's a question on a new disinfo person, either that or nut, Pornima Wog. So she showed up I don't know, about a month, 4 to 6 weeks ago, I think, doing an interview on Lee Merritt, and I took a look and it is total BS, just total BS. I couldn't believe anybody would believe it. And I thought, what is Lee Merritt doing having this stuff on? Anyway, Sophia Smallstorm put up a very interesting email dialogue back and forth between her and some credible doctor group. Apparently somebody checked the she had said she had a degree from London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, has checked in with the following statement this morning from their press office. Nobody by the name of Pornima Wog has obtained a degree from our institution. So what I say, if you don't, do not waste time on unvetted people. But I mean, it's pretty, if you've been sitting in meetings weekly with the Doctors for COVID Ethics, you could tell that the whole thing was BS, but you just couldn't believe, here's the problem. BS in the first instance is much more entertaining than listening to Sucharat Bhakti tell you the truth again. But again, entertainment is not actionable intelligence. Just don't waste any time on these people unless you're writing your dissertation on disinformation. So somebody's making a pitch about how useful her information is. If somebody who has zero integrity is spinning out a whole bunch of information and includes information, that's legitimate, just don't. I don't know why you care. So, liar is a liar, and liars always mix up their lies with, some legitimate stuff. Hospitals paid for letting patients die. So another person explaining the nuts and bolts of the financial incentives. Pope dissolved Knights of Leadership. We talked about this on Money and Markets this week. Jimmy Dore talked about a link from Jimmy Dore, who I like very much. Another link on water. North Pole, 24 time zones collided, a single point rendering them meaningless. It's all of Earth's time zones and none. There are no boundaries, there's no land, no people. The sun rises and sets just once a year, so time of day is irrelevant. This is really interesting. It's from Scientific America. Time has no meaning at the North Pole. Then a report on the excess deaths. There's no doubt that all-cause mortality is rising dramatically. It's pretty frightening. More links on. So I'll just let you go through the links. There's a lot of great links, and I really appreciate everyone sending them. Yeah, including the Bed Bath and Beyond suicide or assassination, you decide. Massive protests. We talked about civil unrest in money markets this week. Wow, lots of links. I've gone through them twice, but I just want to tell you how much I appreciate them. Okay, lots of links. And I put some in the appendix. I put some of the links I often use to respond to Ask Catherine, so we're keeping them in the appendix. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Ask Catherine. Since the questions, we hit the deadline on Monday, there's a lot of good questions that have come in, so we're going to have plenty to talk about next week on Ask Catherine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. Don't forget, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, you need to start one right now. You have a great week.